everybody, and welcome to the Game Hour Podcast. My name's Drew.
I'm Aztec.
He certainly is. And today, we're in the same room as each other.
I know.
Which is interesting.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's interesting.
We were talking about how weird it was, though, before we got started.
It did feel weird.
Yeah.
Not because we're shy.
Because we're so used to talking over the internet.
We're so used to be talking to another screen version of you.
Yeah.
But, like, not that we don't talk in person every day.
Exactly.
Well, maybe not every day.
We hang out. We just don't do a podcast.
Yeah.
We don't do a podcast every single day. One thing I'll say is, obviously, this is possible thanks to, I'm going to say, Wolfie Steve. I don't know if Aztec knew this, but Wolfie Steve gifted the money to get a Rodecaster Pro 2, which I obviously wasn't really expecting to get anytime soon. But he donated the money and said to buy it because it was on sale.
And
so we did, and now this can allow us to do the podcast in the same room, which is why it was on my wish list to begin with. So we can actually start having a bit, because it's going to be definitely different.
More animated, I feel.
More animated, but also, I think it's just going to be, it just didn't feel natural, like, because although we say we don't really do a podcast in the same room, like you say, we do talk to each other.
Right, this is what, like, started the podcast, so, like, it's our conversations. Yeah. I mean, bear in mind, fair enough, over COVID, over Discord and stuff, but then, like, we have those conversations in person as well.
Yeah, yeah, but so, it always felt weird trying to talk to you about stuff we talk about in person through the camera and look at each other's reactions through Discord. Where normally we talk about stuff in person and see each other's reactions.
Yeah, in person. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Whenever we did the podcast, this is why I pushed so hard to try and get us in the same room, because I just really feel like it's much, much better than trying to talk over the internet. So
I agree. I think it's
but
good.
I
feel like it'll be more genuine this way.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And we've already said that we've got a few topics we want to discuss.
Yeah.
I think we did say that we want to talk about Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And I know what everyone's thinking. For fuck's sake, these guys keep fucking talking about Ahsoka or Star Wars every single podcast.
It's relevant. We can't help that it stays relevant.
It's a brand new, fresh
big
series.
Developments.
I'd say. I already know that there's going to be a slight bit more positivity on your side.
Side. Yeah, I know. I knew that when I was thinking about it. I knew that as well, because I know what you think about what it's so far. So
So I mean, we're gonna go into that. We also want to discuss Dungeons and Dragons as well, like D&D. I've started watching like Critical Role and stuff like that, but we'll get into all that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think first of all we should maybe blitz. We'll not blitz through, but we'll talk about Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And, you know, try not to spend too long on it, but we'll talk a bit about
what's going on. I suppose it naturally popped up first, didn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's good to start with you, because you're way more critical.
I feel like I always ask you what your thoughts are first, but we'll do it the other way around this time.
Yeah, do it the other way around. Break the format. Now we're in the same room.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck your plans.
I was fine to go first or second. I don't mind either way.
Off you go.
But, the main criticism, as we've already discussed off thing, and obviously we haven't talked about the new episode, so that's good. But the show the pacing on the show is so slow, and I feel like when it started, I was fine with it because I thought it was going to, like,
develop faster.
I didn't really get a chance to fully see how slow it was going to be long term. It just kind of, I just thought maybe it was a slow episode, but obviously, they're just laying the groundwork for the rest of the show. But, like, it's still, my main problem is the actress who plays Ahsoka is a fantastic actress, and everything I've seen her in, she's great.
It's incredible.
But I feel like when she's playing Ahsoka, I don't know whether it's the way she's being directed or not, but she's so stoic and just takes so long to talk about things. Like, she'll just be in silence for ages, and I feel like it's not Ahsoka. And I know people will try and defend her, going, "Oh, you know, she's older, or, like, you know, time, she might change a little bit." But I feel like I don't think that's what anyone really wants. People want to see Ahsoka be Ahsoka, and she's just so stoic and slow. But I feel like whenever I see the scenes where people are talking to each other are so drawn out and long, and I feel like even the lightsaber scenes just feel like. And I think someone made a good point that basically it all comes down to, like, the budget of the show, and basically they don't want actors training for months in choreography.
Yeah, because Ewan and Hayden had months.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
And they don't want to do that. So basically when it comes to the lightsaber scenes, it's obviously not as choreographed, so then therefore it's slower. But I feel like it takes away from it, and especially considering the lightsaber ability that Ahsoka had in the show.
Yeah.
And this is just absolutely not that Ahsoka, like,
In terms of wielding lightsabers. You've got to remember as well that Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen both took to the sword fighting aspect of their acting really fast. Like, the swordsmaster that was teaching them stuff was, like, blown away. He was like, these guys are like naturals. They train on their own time as well.
Yeah.
Because they loved it so much. Like Liam Neeson is like trained with swords and stuff and he was complimenting them how fast they'll pick up and things like that. Yeah. You know? So I think they had some natural ability that perhaps not every actor you can expect to have.
Yeah.
With the stoicness, I feel for me, and maybe this is me, you know, I have a tendency to kind of like headcanon things as reasons why. But I think, especially with the new episode, episode 5, that you can attribute her stoicness to the whole fact that she hadn't gotten over what Anakin had become. Because that was the whole point of episode 5, was making her get past the fact that Anakin was Darth Vader, and then that whole...
That her legacy conflict, wasn't the same as his
that
legacy.
Her legacy wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, especially that, and for me, that was compounded when she, like, threw the lightsaber away. And I'm sure this could be my brain playing tricks on us, because I was very excited that entire episode. But she threw the lightsaber away and she was like, I'm a Jedi like my master was before me, or something like that. That could be me. But, anyways.
I don't think she said that.
Anyways, it seems to me like he was teaching her that. He trained her to be
a
warrior.
She doesn't want to live. That's she just want to live.
So he trained her to be a warrior, and she was trying to train Sabine to be a warrior.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't necessary anymore, because it wasn't a war on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of like, you need to change with the times, you need to get over and accept your past and kind of move on from it, move through it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like trying to cure yourself of some sort of PTSD or like trauma.
Yeah.
And you work through it. And Anakin's Force Ghost in the World Beyond Worlds helped her do that. And I think moving forward, we'll see a less stoic, because now that's the transformation. That's the transformation to Ahsoka the White.
I hope so.
And
the
if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Ahsoka the White, yeah.
That's what it's been done. Like, online you'll see it everywhere. This is from Ahsoka the Grey to Ahsoka the White. Like, that's the way it is. Like,
I hope so, because obviously one thing I do is when I have a certain feeling about a show, I kind of think, right, this is what's bothering me about it. I wonder if anybody else feels the same way. So I go online and I search. And a lot of it is about
being so slow. You sent me that message.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I do see that. And then episode 5, and I watched it, and I was like, that explains the stoicness. So maybe from now, you get less stoicness, more because she's less pressured and weighed down by her past now.
Yeah.
That she'll become more like she was and a bit more carefree and happier like she used to be, because she's kind of moved on. She's kind of learned this lesson.
Yeah.
But there's other things we've got to talk about that episode.
Right. I want to talk about Hayden.
Yeah.
Can I talk about Hayden?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, please.
Right. They I think, have now smashed their ability to make a character look younger. I mean, albeit obviously Hayden Christensen, like he's obviously gotten older, but he's not like old.
No, but he looks.
If you compare the way the de-aging was done on Obi-Wan compared to this, he looks way better, and it just looked like
even Luke in Mandalorian.
Yeah, exactly. And I just felt like you were just looking at Hayden the way he was in the prequel, like in Episode 3, and I was like. The problem is that I just want more of that. I was
loving it. Like, I saw Anakin and I was like, bruh.
Yeah.
Please. Ooh. And then it happened again, and you get the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The live action Clone Wars.
Can I just talk? Because I know one thing that we talked about before is when this is obviously not something. Well, no, I think we have done on a podcast.
Possibly.
Actually, when I said about how.
I'll know when you say it.
Hayden Christensen's acting's quite wooden.
I think he's great.
Yeah. But I think this, for me, showed it. Like, his acting was definitely not wooden in this.
No.
And I loved...
Unbelievable.
I loved the passion and the things he was saying and stuff like that. And I was obviously... Me, obviously, having watched Clone Wars series as well, like along with you, is I was very, like, analysing the way that they interacted. And I was kind of like... I remember the way that animated Anakin acted towards Ahsoka, and likewise Ahsoka towards Anakin at the very start, because she could say, oh, it's our first campaign.
Right.
Together.
So it's kind of like,
are they going to have that thing where they don't see eye to eye? Because at the very start, she's very, what's the word I'm looking for?
She's quite passionate, isn't he, at the beginning? She's very headstrong.
She's very headstrong. She's very offstandish.
She's very Anakin. Anakin.
Yeah, she's very combative with him. And I was kind of like, they had a bit of that. And I was like, that's good. That's good. That's excellent. I loved Hayden in that episode as Anakin.
He's
it was like that's
perfect,
and I think that's because obviously they wanted to make it seem like it was the Clone Wars Anakin series, and in the series he had a lot more emotional range, I would say. Yeah. Whereas in the movies, you don't feel like you get to see it as much. No. So I feel like they tried to match the kind of emotional range that he had in the series. Yeah. I feel like it smashed it, and it was nice, and it kind of made me wish that I saw that kind of acting range from Hayden
originally
in episode 3.
I reckon it might have been a bit. It could have been that he was a bit young. Yeah. And, you know, possibly he was being directed that way. He was meant to be a bit, you know, it's a hard role to play when you're trying to play somebody who's good but secretly struggling with, struggling with all these issues and worries and stuff. So maybe it was just hard for him as a younger actor. Maybe. But you got to give props to, well, the props team, the costume team, you know, the Clone Wars armor.
The Clone Wars
armor, Ahsoka's retconned outfit. Because the season one outfit would have been terrible for live action.
Did you notice the detail that they, like, I love when people thought the detail. Obviously, depending on what time it was,
she was wearing different.
Like, especially the headgear was, like, different, and it matched the series.
Yeah.
And I was like, just that small attention to detail, I just love it. Because I know that it sounds like I was being really negative about the show, but there's, like, certain things that, like, I love about
it. But that's what these mini-series, like, Andor, Obi-Wan, have always been really good at. Like, the pawn, is it the collector's shop in Andor?
Oh, right.
I was going to say pawn shop. P-A-W-N.
The what, sorry?
The shop, like, where in the, was it in Andor, or was it, I think it was Andor. Yeah, it was Andor, where Mon Mothma would go, and he's like the secret agent guy.
It was like antiques collectors.
All the different antiques around the shop, and you recognise someone.
It's a couple of Jedi
holocrons.
It's not pawn shop, it's antiques. There's
holocrons, there's fucking Twi'lek, like what Syndulla had in, Hera had in Rebels, which she tried to steal from Thrawn.
I'm going to be honest with you. Surprisingly, I know it sounds really crazy, but I didn't actually finish Rebels.
Did you not?
So, obviously, I'm coming into this a bit kind of like, I kind of gather what's happened. I don't really know fully, but I should really finish watching it,
Well, that bit in, like, episode 2, where Sabine's looking at, like, the mural of, like, the mall.
Yes.
That is almost frame for frame the very ending of Rebels, when she goes away with Ahsoka.
Oh, right.
So the only difference being that in Rebels, Ahsoka the White picks her up.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's Ahsoka the Grey.
So how come... Yeah, so that's
but
one thing I'm saying.
It's a much better transformation into Ahsoka the White this way. That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping now that we'll get...
Yeah, so that's one thing I didn't understand is because, obviously, they make it seem like she's got no ability with the Force, or very little. So why is she being trained as a Jedi?
I don't know. She must have had some sort of ability because...
Yeah, you'd think so, but it just feels like she's got none.
Hu Yang says she's got the least amount of ability known. But it
at least of any,
got,
of any
yeah. So
apprentices.
The fact that he said the least and not none...
Right.
Must suggest that she has some.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. I don't really know. No. I think literally just because Ezra left her the lightsaber.
Maybe.
Like, I assume you didn't see the whole final battle with Thrawn and things like that.
No.
Might be worth having a look at that. Even if you skip ahead and just watch like that.
I think I tried to get back to it a little while ago, but it's obviously, like, it's one thing is, bugs me about the animated shows is they're all so different in style, but I feel like they should all be like, they should have made them all a lot more just like Clone Wars.
I prefer the Clone Wars art style for sure. But I kind of got used to the Rebels style, and once I started getting through, like, you know, like thinner lightsabers in Rebels, in the Clone Wars the lightsabers looked so good. They were like big, they look big and powerful, not like huge, but like they look like a powerful something you didn't want to touch, you know. Whilst in Rebels, it seems more like, you know, like in the original trilogy, sometimes where the lightsaber would like to go too close to the camera and it just looks like a dot.
Yes.
Because of the effect that they used. Like, sometimes, like, I mean, they changed it in the remastered versions, but like, I remember watching the old VHS versions that my dad had, and like, sometimes the lightsaber would be like really thin. It looks like a laser, but like the smallest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, you know.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about Ahsoka?
No, I'm enjoying it very much. I thought that last episode was incredible.
I'm always kind of hopeful it's going to get better.
So much,
but...
like seeing Rex, as brief as it was, the Clone Wars flashback, the fight where she learned nothing from the flashbacks, and Anakin went, well, fuck, if you're bothered about us being Darth Vader, here I fucking am.
Yeah.
And attacked her as Darth Vader, and seeing that Darth Vader version without the suit. before he got Obi-Wan'd was really cool with the eyes and everything. And I just thought the whole episode was exciting, it was incredible.
It was definitely the best one, the one I've enjoyed the most so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just hope that the pace picks up. And that they don't spend so much dead air between...
Yeah.
The dead air and conversations is what's bugging me. It's like... I mean, anybody who knows me will know that I'm massive on... I love cinema. I love movies, love TV shows. And, you know, there's sometimes you'll watch a movie and the pacing is way too fast.
Yeah.
One prime example recently that I'll think about that is Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, if anyone's seen it. Like, film has no pacing at all.
No.
And it's just constantly next scene and next scene and next scene. It's like next thing. So, like... When a show has good pacing when it matters, that is really important because it allows time to breathe, but at the same time it doesn't draw on too long. But I feel like Ahsoka right now is...
It's like a sprint.
The Ahsoka right now is... The pacing is... There's too much pacing. It's too slow. There's too much time where when they're having conversations, they could afford to be much faster in their conversation. But they have like... long periods where nobody says a word, like
happening.
And it's just, you just don't need
it's
to have that.
It's atmospheric, isn't it? And not, like, it's just to be nice about it.
That's being nice about it.
I'm enjoying it, and I'm quite, sometimes I think that's a little bit slow, but I remember feeling more annoyed at some like Mandalorian or Boba Fett
Boba Fett's,
Mandalorian episodes where I'm like, literally nothing happened that episode. What a waste of time.
Yeah, Mandalorian season 3.
I haven't felt that way about Ahsoka quite yet.
I kind of.
While it has been a bit slow, I've enjoyed seeing, even in every episode, there's something like this, like when Hera came in and Chopper, and then there was like Shin Hadi.
But wasn't the last episode like literally
the character now?
Entire last episode was where the ship is stranded. They leave the ship. They have a fight. She goes over the edge.
Aye.
She hands over the map. The map gets destroyed, and then that's the end of the episode. The end of the episode is literally one conflict, like one little conflict stretched out an entire. Stretched out an entire episode. It's Disney Plus, which means it was like 30 minutes long.
But you know, but you get lots of close-ups of Shin Hadi.
I am saying nothing.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've seen that she's definitely a fan favorite at the moment.
I would agree, and I can see why. I think she's a very interesting character. She's very aesthetically pleasing to me.
I don't really mean like, you know, she's alright. Like, but
no, I'm quite taken.
Yeah,
I'm quite taken. I'll be honest, like, I'm quite taken.
Liam Neeson taken.
No,
better than that.
No, because I don't want anybody to come and save me.
Oh dear.
Anyway, moving on.
So
because I'm going to get wrong for that 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Because yeah.
Especially since the actress is Ukrainian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did some research.
But moving on to something that before we started doing the podcast, when I was picking you up and bringing you over, we were trying our best not to talk about D&D so much.
Right.
Which we kept going into all the time.
Well, I could talk about it. I've been playing D&D. I've been DMing or dungeon mastering D&D for a long time.
Or GMing
if you want to do otherwise.
I thought it was really funny when, what's it called? Critical Role?
Yeah.
The DM. It's called again?
I'm Mercer. Yeah. Keep going. Matt Mercer.
Matt, that's it. Matt. It was Matt Mercer. I knew it was a double AMR. I couldn't remember. Yeah, yeah. You know what?
An incredible dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they're wholesome, the whole lot of them. I've probably spent about weeks and weeks of my time watching streams.
And I'm starting to do that now.
Which campaign are you watching? The first one?
I'm watching the first one. It's rough to get through because...
Is that the one with the twins? The twin thieves... I can't remember what it's saying.
I don't know yet. I'm still on.
Right, okay.
I'm still on the first video because the problem is because obviously it's like 8 years ago now. It's a very early video. Their production quality isn't that high. So
I
like
prefer
so
season two.
I've heard that a lot online.
But season one, I think, is what they based Vox Mechanica on.
Yes.
So which is the series on FX?
Vox Machina. Yes. So we'll get to that
I did watch a little bit, but I didn't.
I watched the first season. I'm watching season two right now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw. There's a YouTube channel. I can't remember what it's called, where they ask like questions to like celebrities and YouTubers. Where they've got like Google. Is it Variety?
They bring off
is
the
it Variety? Is that what it's called? Yeah, they bring off like, does Mike Mercer, and then you take it off. And
Mike?
It's,
Matt?
Matt, Mike, Matt, sorry. Fucking hell. Matt. Does like Matt. Does like Matt Mercer, and then the rip it off kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
and
was
And I think there was another video, like, so I watched that video, and there was another video where somebody asked him about GMing, and he's just kind of like, what? Or like, everyone's like, what's GM? Because obviously, like, they say, like, Dungeon Master, DM.
In other RPGs, like World of Darkness, or Star Wars, or whatever thing you're doing, it's GM, it's a Game Master, but because DM... It's trademarked pretty much by by Dungeons and Dragons because you're the Dungeon Master.
Right.
It sounds twice as nerdy.
Yeah. So, where was it? Where were we with that? I can't remember.
We were just saying that I've got a fair amount of experience with it. Not a crazy amount of experience with it. I know the rules. I've DM'd. I've played. And you're just pretty much not brand new, but you're just kind of getting it. Well, Dungeons and Dragons, especially, we had a go at Edge of the Empire, which is a Star Wars one. But this is you just getting into
D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons, is such a robust rule system. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into it. Obviously, like I said, I've started watching Critical Role. Mm-hmm. I've taken a very big interest. I think Baldur's Gate 3 is what's pushed me now. Such a huge interest in it.
Yeah.
But what I love is, I think I mentioned it to like some people, like Andrew and Rebecca and stuff, to say like, oh, like, I'd love to like do some D&D. And like, they seem very, you know, like Sadia, you know, Rebecca and stuff seem very up for it. So it's kind of like, oh, what I'd love to like, obviously, like
run the session.
I would love to have like some sessions, and I'd love to be a DM myself, but obviously I'm gonna have to observe you a lot and learn a lot of the rules myself before.
You know what I learned is like the first time I ever tried Dungeons and Dragons, it was shite. I forgot half the things, but you know. But then I watched Critical Role for a while. I started, you know, sometimes I'd watch Critical Role while writing my campaigns.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit of, like, I'm not saying do everything Matt Mercer does, because it's your own game, and you kind of, some people like some rules, some people don't like other rules, you know? Yeah. Like, I think in Critical Role, a lot of the time, they allow certain things to be bonus actions that are technically actions, like...
Well, he says...
Like, feeding somebody else a health potion is meant to be an action, not a bonus action, but I do believe sometimes they do it as bonuses.
Right, they do change things up a little bit.
The rules are kind of like guidelines anyways, to use the famous quote. It's like in Warhammer, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the rule book, and you can use that as your base. Once you've got a handle on those rules, if you and your table agree to do something, then there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, like death saving throws, sometimes the DM will do those, or the player will do it hidden in front of the DM, so only the player and the DM know. Mm. Because if you're in a fight, your friends don't know how close to death you are until they go and check you.
Yes.
So, you know, some people like that. Some people play it entirely with hidden rolls, where the DM does all the rules.
Yeah.
You know? Or hidden stealth rolls. We tried that once. That was quite cool. You know, usually you'd roll your own stealth roll. You know you've rolled a nat 20. You're going to walk around. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if the DM rolls it, and it's really quite interesting, if I rolled your stealth check for you, and I roll, and you know, and you can't see what the dice roll is, and I go, okay, you don't know how stealthy you're being.
Mm.
You know, you could go around and get, I'm really fucking quiet. And really, there's just some dude at the end of the corridor going... But you know what I mean? Like, so it makes for some interesting, really cool and interesting ways of like where players can change it or DMs can change things. I tend to say, I don't like this rule. Are you all cool if we do it this way instead?
Yeah.
But like a lot of the times it's really cool, and it's much better to play with friends that you've known for a while. Like I've had a few times where I've done it with people, and like they'll be on their phone and stuff, and I'm like, look, I've spent hours of my free time writing this, preparing this session for you. All you have to do is turn up and play.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your phone. Put it away.
Yeah.
You know? Like, unless it's important. Like, you know, like, I'm not a school teacher, but, like, it's a bit of a case of, like, look, we're all here to play. I've prepped this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Can you not use your phone? Like, pay attention even when it's not your turn. Because if you turn up and go, oh, I'm sorry, I was on my phone, what am I going to do? I was like, fuck, your character wasn't paying attention, mate. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
fuck.
Yeah.
Not my fault. You know, fucking roll a dexterity save. You just tripped over the curb, you daft cunt. You know what I mean? There are in-game ways of punishing people if you really want to do that. I mean, you can do it nicely and comedic.
Yeah.
If you know, like, you know, to give them a little nudge of like, this is going to happen every time you stop paying attention.
Yeah.
You know? But you could also just be like, look, guys, during that session, a lot of you were on the phone. And that's the best way of dealing with it. But I feel like if it was us, we'd all have that kind of thing. I tend to like to use D&D Beyond. I know there's been a lot of backlash with D&D Beyond recently.
Yeah, I heard about that.
However, all the books I own, I purchased on D&D Beyond years ago. So I'm not going to stop using it, unfortunately, because I would waste the money.
Yeah.
I'd love it if you bought the physical book, if you got a code for D&D Beyond, considering they are affiliated.
Uh-huh.
I assume. I think they're still affiliated. I didn't really see the fallout for what went on. It would be great if you bought the physical book. You get a digicode, just like the Warhammer books. You buy a codex, you're going to get the digicode for it.
Yeah.
That would be great. And then I would have the books and I'd have the digiversion. And if I didn't want to use, then it'd be great. But it's really good for beginners to build characters because character creation can be so difficult to get your head around. And if you use something, even if it's not D&D Beyond, even if it's like another, there are other third-party ones you could use, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Something like that just makes it easy. If you just think gender, race, subclass or whatever, and then you want to put, and then everything else limits all your options to within those, you know, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to roll their stats. Some people prefer other ways of doing it. So there's lots of things to consider being a DM. Like, even before you start writing a campaign, like, what am I going to allow my players to do?
Yeah.
Either can they have custom characters?
Yeah.
Can they have this race or this race?
Yeah.
You know?
So as I was saying before we went into DMing, so honestly, I want to start doing some Dungeons & Dragons. We talked for years. I think when we lived together, we did
Star Wars one.
Yeah. But I think just to go to 40K as well, when I talk about Warhammer is, like, I think, like, even when I was living with Ben, like, long before I met my wife, long before we ever lived together, like, we talked about doing battle reports for Warhammer. So I want to do that. I want to do D&D campaigns for
podcasts.
YouTube. Because at this point, if you've watched the last podcast, obviously you've talked about having to quit streaming, I think I was.
Yes, yeah, you've mentioned it a few times.
So obviously,
would you like to mention it again?
Yes, obviously, like, I'm no longer a full-time professional content creator. But I still want to do content in my spare time because I love making content. So I thought it'd be really cool is if we're going to be doing Warhammer 40K.
We're going to be doing the hobbies anyways.
If we're doing the hobbies anyway, we might as well record it all.
We do it.
So I really want to start off a D&D show. I think what's really good about doing a D&D show, and I'm going to try to give everyone ideas out there and you kind of steal my ideas. So I'm going to be talking about stuff. I'm going to talk about stuff and you better not steal my ideas.
That's the wrong way of having it. Like, you know, like, if you talk about an idea, you know, it's a good idea. If people take it, that's fine. We're still going to do better.
Yeah. But when I say when I'm going to talk about stuff, I'm going to be like going to specific stuff that people might like.
Well, don't then.
No, but I want to.
If you're watching this podcast, we're going to send you out an NDA by email. You have to sign it, and then if anybody anywhere does whatever Drew's about to say, then something will happen.
If you don't sign the NDA, if you're watching this right now, you don't sign the NDA, check your inbox right now, and if you don't sign it, you're going to die in 7 days.
Yeah, if you don't like, subscribe and share, then
yes, that's one way to get around it. That's one way to get around it. You don't have to sign the NDA. You just have to like the video because if you watch it on YouTube, you know, you have to subscribe, share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Even if you're listening, share the podcast with your friends.
Share.
So, and that's, there we go. You've avoided death.
Send the link in Messenger. Otherwise, the ghost of...
Doesn't matter. The bit is not working out. So we're gonna stop that bit now.
I could think of plenty. Just nothing that I wanted to say on a podcast.
I was like sitting here watching you just like, don't rope me into this. You finish what you're gonna say.
I looked like in my brain there was like, this one, can't say that. And I was just looking at you going, too much time.
Don't look to me.
Something bad will happen. Through no fault of mine or Drew's. Just to get that out.
Quick disclaimer, nothing bad's going to happen to you, by the way. Nothing's going to happen to you. So,
you know.
Anyway. Because I haven't told you yet, because I was waiting. We're in the car, and I wanted to tell you about it, but at the same time, I was like, we'll save for the podcast.
Driving the speed limit very sensibly.
So, obviously, now that I'm going to be making content as more of a hobby, I'm obviously going to be trying to find work. But I'm currently trying to find work. I'm currently doing some commission projects as well, getting paid for it, and things like that. So, hopefully, keep up, maintain the work, start saving money for equipment, because as we've probably seen through watching other people do, like, battle reports or do D&D campaigns, is they require they require some like equipment that we don't already have. So great, like luckily we've already got some equipment, but for example, if we were going to have a room full of people doing a D&D campaign,
more cameras, more microphones,
things like that, things that we don't have
even
right
these
now.
Microphones, you want lapel mics, wouldn't you?
Boom mics. With a mic array pointing at the people. That's what you need.
Could do, or you could just have like...
Yeah, but if you actually... So what I did was I was like, right, what equipment do Critical Role use? Because I can see on their videos when they've got the boom mics.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously that's what you want to do. Yeah, exactly. You want to aim to be like, if you want to make a quality show, you look at other quality shows and you think, right, how do I replicate that? Yeah. But obviously try and put your own spin on it.
But as a stepping stone, you've got High Rollers, the Yogg's Cast one.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to watch some of that, actually.
Is Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wouldn't expect anything else from Trot, so...
Absolutely. Watch the first campaign again. It's a little bit of a production ramp. Like, they start off shit, and then they get better.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's through COVID and stuff like that, but yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know the full setup the Critical Role have, but they do use Audio-Technica shotgun mics. Sorry, not boom mics, shotgun mics. And the shotgun mics, actually, surprisingly, aren't too bad.
Relatively speaking, when you get
multiple of them, it obviously stacks up. But for considering how much I expect a shotgun mic to cost, it was only like £135 for a shotgun mic.
All you need to do is
have like two or three pointed at a desk.
Yeah.
And then two or three pointed at a desk, and it's going to pick up, because a boom mic will, it obviously kind of does this kind of like area. So if you've got like, say if you've got two people sitting here, you can have just two there and it'll pick up both. You can even have three people there and two mics will pick up both. So basically, I've obviously been pricing up how much it would be, and this would be something that I would do like a long-term savings for it and stuff like that, because when I say I want to start doing D&D, it's
might
not
be worth starting about that Patreon.
Well, there's going to be, well, maybe not a Patreon, but if anyone wants to join the Discord server, there's ways to support in there as well, so if you guys want to help. But I think for the remainder of my month that I've got left this month, I'm maybe going to set up a goal that we may or may not hit. I'm not really bothered, but anything little helps. But yeah, so I've obviously got an idea of like equipment that we're going to need to buy. I'm not going to give it overall cost, because in case my wife ever listens to this, and I don't want to know I've spent this kind of money, but seriously though, it is going to be a hobby.
You
put money in a hobby, don't you?
Yeah, you put money in a hobby, and if you get a little bit back, then fine.
Exactly.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
And this is the thing, is I'm not going to have any hopes that us doing our own D&D show is going to be successful and take off.
No.
But it's something, if we're going to do it anyway, we might as well make it into content, you know?
Why not? Because some people might enjoy it. Hey, you know what it is? If one person's having a bad day and they enjoy listening to us, and even if it's one listener every week, and we improve their life even a little bit just because they enjoy listening to us, I'm happy.
Exactly.
I'm happy. One person comments and says, you know what, I really enjoy your content, you helped me through a hard week.
Yeah.
Then that is my job done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy with that and I will continue to do it.
100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Hell, doing this makes me feel better, so I'm going to do it anyway.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing is, like, we said when we started doing this podcast, I think I said to you, I was like, this podcast is something that we're going to do because we want to enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But, like, we have no intention of making money from doing a podcast.
No.
Like,
but like, if it happens, it happens.
If it happens, it happens.
And
yeah,
then that money goes back into the podcast.
But doing this...
Or back into content at the very least.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, like, we're not... If anyone's watching going, you know, like, oh, these guys only get, like, you know, they already had so many people listen to them and stuff. It doesn't matter. Because we enjoy doing a podcast, and and if you guys enjoy watching it, that's the important thing. I'm not looking to make money. Yeah. And I think especially now that I'm not a full-time content creator, I'm not looking to try and make them...
It sounds,
you know,
selfish, but I'm here for me.
I'm here for me.
Sounds really bad, but what I mean by that is I enjoy being here, so I'm here.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy listening, that makes me feel even better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy. Like.
Yeah. Exactly. So it is
just
one of those things
with
where
my mate.
Exactly. And that's why I always wanted to be in the same room.
Yeah.
Because
and now we can structure things a bit more as well, because we're in the same room. We can get some videos up and we can react to them, and like we can have a bit more.
Yeah,
more fun on these things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of do want to do that. But the only thing is, obviously, anybody listening isn't going to be able to see.
No, but what I mean, you see other podcasts who do that.
Yeah, they do that. That's true. They
do. Sounds like poo.
He said poopy.
No, I said poo.
So, it's going to be one of those things where, obviously, it will cost a bit of money to get it set up, and we won't start until it's actually all set up.
It's a working goal.
It's a working goal where we're going to, like...
It's a dream that we're going to aim for.
Yeah.
And that's...
But
that's what it is.
I actually came up with a title. I have discussed it. I've come up with a title for the show, and this is one thing
with everybody but me, because I don't do online apparently anymore.
I talked about it in the Discord.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I'm really bad. I don't know what happened. I stopped playing Destiny, and then I don't go in the Discord.
I was going to say you started getting reactive in there. Then you were just kind of like, oh well.
It's because I stopped playing Destiny for a bit because they pissed me off.
The game.
And then they pissed me off the other day as well, because they sent me an email where I'm not going to get into right now.
Right. Okay.
The one I mentioned on the way in the door.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So they're pissing off a little bit, so I'm not playing Destiny right now. And I've got Starfield and Baldur's Gate, so I've tended And if I do go on the Discord, I'll see everybody having fun on Destiny. I'll be like, I'm going to come back.
But the title of the D&D show, which, better not fucking steal it, is...
Get the domain now.
Before this video goes out, I'll make sure I do that. Before this video goes out.
Which James will do it for you.
I just thought, it's obviously a bit of a James Bond reference.
Okay.
But it's only because I think you can make a good, like, pun out of it. Is Live and Let Die, but like die as in dice, you know? Like Live and Let Die. And on the logo, I want the actual D of the die, Live and Let Die, to be a D20 with the D on it. So it's live and let.
It's a good shape,
die.
Right?
Yeah.
And on the I, you could have a little D6.
You could.
That's too much dice in it.
Too much dice in one word.
In the word for singular die, we will have two dice.
Yeah. So live and let. Live and let die.
It'll annoy people like you, Drew, and I think it'll be a great funny thing to do.
No. So anyway, so I've already got an idea in my mind of what the logo is going to look like, and I was actually going to start designing it yesterday, but I got really busy doing other things. But I also want to do a little...
We can sing our own themes. Yeah.
Well, so that's another thing.
Write the theme tune, the theme tune.
Well, that's another thing that I actually said in the Discord that I made a comment about is, what I might do is I might contact McCarthy? I can't remember who did the original song...
You can do covers of songs.
You still need to get permission, though.
Really?
So, yeah. For covers, you still need to get permission. Because if you do
parodies.
If you do a cover... No, but not parodies. But what I want to do is... Because it might not even cost any money, so I might as well give it a go.
Oh, fair enough.
Is get in touch with get the rights to have a jingle. So not even a full song. A jingle where it's played with a lute. Mm.
Flute. Do.
Or something, you know, like
my brother can play the flute.
It's not a lute though, is it?
No, it's not, but it's almost the same word.
Well,
it's only one letter.
I was thinking if we're gonna have it. it's not the same fucking. If anything, I was gonna have.
You're lucky I got that right. I'm dyslexic.
If anything, I was gonna have a bit of a violin in there and a lute.
Violin.
Just to have a little, just a jingle whenever the logo pops up, and then we'll get into it. You know, I don't want to have like a full long song.
Learning how to play
the
fiddle. It's the same. That is the same instrument. It's just a different style of playing.
He's just... I don't know why. He's just so fucking against the lute. Like, he just doesn't...
No, I like lutes.
He doesn't want...
I love lutes.
He's trying to name every other instrument possible other than the lute.
I like a lute. Well, I'm just trying to be helpful. Like, I'll learn to play the lute.
Yeah.
I could learn that jingle.
I think Rob plays ukulele. You know Rob plays ukulele?
That's not a lute, though, is it?
No, it's not, but I'm pretty sure it can adapt.
You see?
I'm pretty sure he can adapt because he knows how to play ukulele.
That's not a lute.
But I'm pretty sure he could adapt.
Could he?
You know what I mean?
Who's this?
Rob.
I completely ignored the name.
I want to see who of our friends would be interested in doing a campaign. Because you know what I'd love to do?
It's the time as well to do it.
Yeah. Do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to have it all set up right in this room. And then have everyone walk in and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do want to get... I have been looking to see if I can replace these bulbs with Alexa ones.
Yeah.
And what I thought would be really cool is, because I know... I mean, we do it on...
Get some, like, surround sound speakers background noise.
Yeah, because... because, obviously, we do it when we're doing... When we're doing... I don't know what it is either, mate, but...
You did it.
No, you did it!
Yeah, and then you did it.
You just did it. I just copied you. I don't know what the fuck it is, though.
The fuck are you, a sheeper?
No comment.
Transmog.
But obviously, because we're doing, we're playing 40k, we'll put some battle music on, won't we? Just to kind of like set an atmosphere.
Flashes.
That's exactly what I was thinking with the lights. Thunder flashing and stuff, you know? When things
lights
happen.
That sync lights to the music. Change. And lights. The sounds is like.
Oh, God, you're asking a lot there, mate.
No,
that's a lot of production that I don't know how to do. but I can push a button on a stream deck and have it do thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
I can do thunder and lightning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. You know,
need like a map on the table so people.
Yeah.
And we can 3D print things.
And we can 3D print things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was looking at 3D printers.
Yeah, they're not that bad, are they?
Resin printers aren't even that expensive.
Yeah, it's like 300 quid.
Not even that?
It depends what type.
Yeah, there was one that I looked at. I think it was only 100 odd quid. And it was like, and I looked at reviews for it because it would have been a cheaper resin one. I thought, oh, well, I want to look up reviews.
Small build player as well.
No, it was pretty decent sized. I'll show you it later. I've got it saved on my Amazon wish list, but I was kind of like expecting it to be much more expensive. Yeah. And like, obviously, they're not the best ones.
No.
But like, a guy did a print with them, and they were like great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh, well, maybe even Connor might want to get one.
Yeah, I do want a resin printer.
But the reason I didn't tell you is because I thought Carolina might prefer if you didn't buy another print anytime soon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to bring up. I think if Carolina came back from where she is,
and you'd spent another 100 quid printer, on another printer,
I think.
Dump your ass.
I don't think they'd be that.
But you'd be very cross for a long time.
She'd be very upset, especially because, you know, like, it would be irresponsible on my part, which is why I haven't done it.
Yeah.
Not the only reason.
Yeah. So obviously we could also we'd also design and print our own characters too. So
yeah.
I want to learn it anyway, so I might as well.
We worked with 3D printers.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more like modeling software.
I
want to learn how to model anyway, so it would just help if I already knew, and then we made our own characters.
I've done Blender, and I can use.
I can design the characters because I'm a Rob can help as well because Rob's a good artist.
Get the characters. Yeah, I can do. That's the thing. I can draw, just not anywhere near as good as you guys. And I can do 3D modeling.
Yeah,
I did Pro Desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Bless you, Jesus.
SolidWorks, whatever it is I'm using now, I can't remember where it is. Fusion 360. That's what I'm on at the moment.
Yeah.
And Blender, I've done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've 3D modeling. I've got a decent. I'm not like pro or anything, but I've got enough experience to know what I'm doing most of the time.
Yeah.
And anything that's out of my skill range, I'm happy to give it a go because then I'll increase my skill range. So
exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be good. Obviously, I want to learn how to do DM, but you'll have to probably DM.
I'm happy to DM.
At least
DM
for a campaign.
I'm happy to do that. Yeah. I'm happy to do, even if it's not a campaign, it's a couple of one shot. Although, I'd be happy to do a campaign. It's kind of nice. I enjoy building the world and the characters. And then just kind of seeing what people do in that world. I tend to go very open world with it.
Yeah.
Although I've known to, for the first couple of sessions with beginners, to like railroad them a little bit, just because too much choice ruins it when you don't really know what you're doing or what you should be doing. You'll just get murder hobos. People are just running around.
Yeah.
Do you know that phrase? Murder hobo.
Murder hobo, yeah. Another phrase, yeah.
So like people are just going around killing everybody and you're like, well, new campaign.
Yeah. But I'm interested to see if we do get like some of our friends involved. Like, I'm kind of interested to see what they kind of do with their characters because if Birdo wants to get involved, obviously he's like, he can speak multiple languages. So I'll be interested to see what kind of accents to bring the characters.
Yeah.
Rebecca obviously speaks like German as well as English. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of, I'm really interested to kind of see what kind of voices and characters. Because I know when we tried doing the Star Wars one, it felt like, because it was the first time I think all of us had really done any sort of role-playing game, apart from you, obviously. Like, we were all new to it.
Yeah.
And it felt really awkward for some reason, trying to pretend to be a character in front of your friends, which was really weird.
It's weird, because we're not going to judge each other, are we?
Exactly, but it just felt...
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of pressure.
Awkward,
No, there is. The first session is always a lot of pressure. And I always say, when we start a first session, I might try, because I'm also under pressure, I feel a bit nervous. I'll try and do a couple of voices. If you want to put a voice on for your character, you can.
Yeah.
And then if you don't, that's fine. If you want to get comfortable around the table first, and then if you want to add an accent or a voice to your character later, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You want to start role playing more, that's absolutely fine. But like a lot of people go into it thinking the game is about rolling the dice and fighting and doing other things. But a lot of cool things happen when the characters role play with each other.
Yes.
Or with characters that I come with. Roleplay, the DM's dream is when your player characters roleplay with each other. Because you just get to sit back and watch something develop that you've got no part in.
Yeah.
That you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And the two guys, the two, whoever's roleplaying at the time, like, they get more confident because they just, when you see them lose themselves in that and, like, have that conversation or, like, the funny things that happen, you've seen them in Critical Role and stuff, like, that's the best part about being a DM because you're watching it and you're like, they get it.
Yeah.
They finally get it.
And that's what I want us to kind of like be more not just kind of like rolling and rules. I want us to be kind of like where we're getting a character and we start having conversations with each other and just have funny moments, you know.
If somebody uses like, you know, Vicious Mockery, I often have a rule of like, well, what do you say? And if I find it fucking hilarious, you know, or Tasha's laughter. What is it, Tasha's laughter? I'm not a spell person. And basically, you basically say a joke and they're stunned laughing.
Ah, I get what you mean. Yeah. Yes. Right. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Let's go back to Vicious Mockery. Mm-hmm. If you say, I'm going to use Vicious Mockery, and I'll go, okay, what do you say? And then you say, like, your mum's a cunt, you know, then I might ask you to roll because it's quite an odd one. But if you say something clever, especially knowing the character, like if it's a character you've met before, like the enemy's a character you've met before, and you say something like that you think would be insulting to them based on what you know of them, if I think, yeah, that would make them angry, then it'll succeed without a dice roll. So there's a bit of, I like to encourage that role play. If you know what I mean? Yeah. Same thing of like, if you're lying to somebody and the character, the player role plays the lie with me and I think it's good, I might not outright let the lie pass, but I might give them an advantage to the role because I thought what they came out with in the role play was good and plausible rather than just, I lie to explain why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, the right role.
Yeah.
But if you like role play that and it seems plausible to the character I am at the time, then I'm going to give you advantage on that.
Yeah,
so it's a good way of getting advantage and stuff for your DM. Is like good role, at least for me, is good role play and stuff because I think it adds to the whole experience. And then when people say, oh, you got advantage because he role played that, it might bring people out. But if you've got the problem with that is if you've got somebody in the group, like let's say Carolina's joined us and she's not as confident as the rest of us, and she doesn't want to roleplay as much, you can't not reward her because of other things. So you've got to find another way of trying to reward that character. But it's about knowing your players and what to do. But it's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm really excited for it. I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah.
I just need to... So I think what I'm going to do is I've been looking at videos, kind of ideal books to get. You know, because you don't need to get all the books, but there's certain books that are kind of like important.
Yeah, some books you want that are your Dungeon Master's Guide, core rules.
Yeah, some that are non-official as well that are really good for helping you like simply learn. Like the Lazy, is it called the Lazy Dungeon Master?
Lazy Dungeon Master's Guide.
Which apparently is very good.
Yeah, you know, I didn't use any of that, so I think I've got the Monster Manual. I'm on D&D Beyond.
Yeah.
So I've got the rules.
I probably will eventually.
The DM's rules, the rules, the monster manuals, and a couple of other books that I like the look of at the time. And then when I build a character, everything's there. Everything I own is in the drop-down menus.
How long is it between editions? Or like, you know, how like we're on fifth right now, right? Fifth edition?
And that's been around for ages.
Yeah.
They just kind of do it whenever they
want. Because I know that when I was in HMV, they had all the books, and I think this is what spurred me on. Obviously, I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. They had the books, they had like the starter sets and stuff like that, and I was kind of I kind of want to buy like a book or something, you know, but...
The best thing about D&D Beyond for me is if I have the subscription to it, which I often do when I'm running a session,
I can basically
put a campaign page on there. You join that campaign and I can make my books available to everybody in my campaign.
So right.
Even if I own all the books, I can enable and disable which ones, and then you just go make a character with these books. These are the ones that are allowed. You know, and then pass it to me, write a little backstory. Hell, if players write me a detailed backstory, love it.
Yeah.
If the more backstory I've got, the more I like it.
I think that requires a lot more reading, though, because I think to have a good backstory, you have to really have an understanding of the world.
I tend to make homebrew my own world.
Right.
So if you give me a backstory, I'll integrate that into the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that.
We've got 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is, before that 10 minutes runs out, is I want to really quickly touch on what's also got me interested in Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, touch on.
Is the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Which was Honor Among Thieves, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was absolutely... And thanks to Rowan as well, because our friend Rowan, aka The Gaming Sense, he gave me his login, because they've got Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
So he gave me his login for Amazon just to give it a watch.
Not on his. I think I bought it on
I want to buy it on Blu-ray. I want to get on Blu-ray.
It's so good.
It was just genuinely entertaining, hilarious. Do you know what my favourite... For spoilers, by the way, my favourite part of me and Sardis...
Questions on the dead guy.
That was funny, but you know what was even funnier? And even Sadia was laughing. Harold laughed at, like, when I watched it, because I watched it without Sadia, I watched it and I had to rewind it, watch it again, because I was just found it so funny, I wanted to watch it. And then when me and Sadia watched it, so I'd watched this one single clip four times now, because we went back and watched it as well with Sadia, is the bit where it's the illusion of him playing the lute. And he just starts going, brr, 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 and the eyes grow up, and he goes, brr. Fucking hilarious. And he's like, what madness is this? Something like, he's like, imagine that you see someone standing there in the stopping, just like, they even like, you'd be like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
Oh god, the
there
horror.
Was so many good moments there in was. That movie. Like when they're questioning that dead guy, I love that scene. Oh, you know why? Because I can see in my head characters at the table talking amongst themselves. Yeah. And Miz, the DM, going, you know, like, don't, what did he say? Like,
it's just like, he's like, damn it. He's like, all right, it's like, only answer when I ask, when I'm talking to you, okay? And he's like, okay. And he goes, why did you phrase that question? I didn't.
And that's it. And that's what DMs do. Yeah. You hear, you've got four questions. One buddy fucks up a question. They get frustrated. They ask another question. You're like, okay. And then they get more frustrated. Somebody else says, why are you doing that? And then you go, okay. And then you just keep answering, and then you just like, that's it, done. And it's so hilarious. I've seen it happen in games, and it was so easy to see people that I played with in the past controlling those characters on the table.
I think that was,
and then that happening.
Yeah, and I think that was the beauty of the movie as well. Yeah. Is even though I haven't really had much experience with D&D, I could totally see when I was watching it, I was like, some of the things that happen are such a D&D only thing.
Yeah.
Like, I could just see it, like, at the very end when she throws the potato at his face. I was like, that's such a D&D thing to do. Because it's that time when we did the Star Wars one, and I said, I want to shoot that guy in the dick.
Yes.
And then we actually rolled to see if we actually hit him in the dick.
Yeah, it was in the rules targeted shot. Yeah,
exactly. So it was like, when she throws a potato, it was one of those things where you could just see someone rolling, I'm going to throw his potato at his face.
Yeah.
And then it was like, right, roll to see if you hit him in the face with a potato and like stun him.
Yeah.
And it was just like, such a D&D 20. Thing. Exactly. It was such a D&D thing. Yeah. I was kind of like, that's just so what I've seen in Dungeons & Dragons in roleplay.
100%.
And I love the fact that they include it, because in other movies, it'd be like, it'd be so dumb, but because it's Dungeons and Dragons, it would just be like,
expect it.
It's just like, that's such a D&D thing that happened.
Yeah, like the thing with the gelatinous cube and stuff as well.
Yes.
Was really good.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie was just so well put together, so well acted. Like the actors and actresses were amazing.
Because the great thing about that film as well is, even if you haven't got experience with D&D, it's such an entertaining movie and it's so enjoyable. But if you know anything about D&D, it just makes you appreciate it even further.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, I've seen so many comments online where people say, I know nothing about D&D, but this film is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, and I really hope they make another one. I really do.
I'd love another one. Yeah. Even if it's different characters.
I'd love the same characters.
I would like the same, but like, that's what I'm saying. But even if it was different characters, I'd still love it.
Did you see the reference to the old Dungeons & Dragons cartoon?
Which one?
When they're in the arena, they look over at a group and they're all dressed up. It's all the characters from the cartoon. Yeah,
they're all in like there's one like in the leather.
Yeah, and the pointy hat and stuff. Yeah. It was honestly, it was great. I was so good. It was such a good movie.
It was so many good things about that movie. I liked it when they were in when the intellect devourers were walking past. I was like, they're attracted to thoughts or something, and then he walks past and goes, well, that's insulting.
It's high the intelligence, the more likely they are to attack.
Yeah, and they just walk straight
by. And he goes, well, that was kind of insulting.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And then the fucking fat dragon as well.
The fat dragon,
it's such a chunky boy. So many, it's like, oh lord, he's coming.
That's a podgy dragon.
It was so fun, like... I thought it was an amazing movie. I thought it was incredible. I nearly watched it again the other night because I saw Rowan saying that he'd lend you his password and stuff. So I was like, I might watch it again as well, actually. Yeah. But I didn't in the end.
It's one of those things that I watched it, and then I think like an hour or two later, I was like, I kind of want to watch it again.
Yeah.
So I was like, trying to tell Sadie, I was like, you'll enjoy this movie. Can we watch it?
I've been trying to get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't yet.
I think it's like Sadie is like, I trust you now to know when I'm going to enjoy a movie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every time I recommend a movie to Sadia, for the most part, there's maybe been one out of all the movies I recommended that she was like, it didn't really do anything for me. But the rest of the time, I recommend a movie and she's like, I trust your judgment, because every time you recommend a movie, most of the time, I actually really enjoy it. And I was just like, this was so funny and had me laughing. And I was like, I think Sadia would love it. Like, and we watched it and she really enjoyed it, which was great. But I think as well, when you watch that and you're like, when you watch that and you play a game like Baldur's Gate 3, it's like, I really want to kind of get involved with Dungeons & Dragons.
It's
because I feel
so
like
so unpredictably funny.
Yeah.
Any normal moment can just turn into fucking hilarious laughter. Yeah. It's so much fun. It can be boring when you're learning the rules and a battle round takes you an hour.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what they're doing. But like once you've played a few sessions, as with other board games or tabletop games,
yeah.
once you know what you're doing, you fucking it flies by and you're just like, dice going all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. But it's one of those things where I'm going to be like,
about it is motivated me to try and get a session ready for.
Yeah, because you said you wanted to do it, a one shot, didn't you, for me and the guys? Yeah. I haven't told the guys yet that you're thinking about it.
I don't know. I'll try. I don't know if it'll be.
We don't have to. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's other.
We've got board games.
There's other board games that I wanted to touch.
I could start building the world for a regular instead.
Why not?
And then eventually when I have some more time and we have something.
can I just say, in the movie, when I was here, he mentions Baldur's Gate, it's like.
I've got the. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. And well, when he said Neverwinter as well. I know that.
For me,
well.
There were so many. There's that was pretty much me that last episode of Ahsoka the entire time. Just I ran out of fucking clicks in my fingers. I was like,
your fingers are exhausted. Just like
I know, passed out of excitement with Hayden Christensen. So much hate.
That was the one great thing about that show.
So good.
Yeah.
Lots of good things coming out.
Yeah.
Lots of good things. So exciting things for the future.
Exactly, yeah.
And staying in touch.
Yeah.
Every podcast we seem to go into like, this is what we're going to do in the future. But like now we're in the same room. We're going to work out, we can refine it more now.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it was good because
there's lots of other content that's coming. Lots of other content to have in your face and your ears and up your nose and through your viewing devices on your screens.
Crawling into your eyeballs.
Just like... subscribe.
Like, subscribe, and share with your friends. That's the one
share
thing
with,
is.
If you don't have any friends to share with a stranger, your mum, your dad, your dog.
Are you listening right now on a train? Just go touch someone on the shoulder. And go, hey, listen to this podcast,
Game Hour podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless like you know, there are some exceptions to that rule. But
But I think we've been recording for about an hour now, so we can probably call it there.
Call it there, and I'm going to get my ass kicked in 40k.
In 40k, because we're going to play some 40k.
Because
and I've got
Drew has learned the rules.
I have learned how to play with Necrons. I have learned many different things, including how to use my command points better.
Well, that's the thing. You know? I told you for
stratagems.
I told you for ages that Tau right now are trash.
Yeah,
and I kept kicking your ass, and you're like, Tau are not trash.
Yeah, but it's because I didn't know how to play. But now I know how to
today
play.
Today we'll discover how trash. But I won't go down without a fight, so it'll be fun. In any case, still going
to
be fun.
I've got a couple models I still need to build after this podcast.
I'll have
before
a smoke
we get started.
No worries.
But so thanks so much for everyone. Thanks so much everyone for watching. Really appreciate it. Obviously, one thing I'll say before we go is obviously on this podcast there might be either times where because we can't hear ourselves.
No.
There might be times where we've maybe either blown out the mic or we've blown in at the mic or there's a bit more reverb than we think there will be. But obviously it's still part of the process of trying to set up
the
room.
We'll get pop filters.
So
we're
going to get a little bit of wall treatment to kind of reduce the reverb, pop filters, things like that. So there might be times we're watching this podcast and you're thinking, there's audio things, but it's getting there.
If you enjoy the quality of content, great. Stay tuned because the quality of the sound and effects are going to come
and
along
higher,
with us.
And higher. Yes.
Like that.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, that's some people might cringe at that, but, you know.
Who would do that?
I might, watching it back.
Great. It's not going to get cut. I expect to see that.
Oh, it's going in there. I haven't finished saying goodbye yet. I'm not going to cut that.
We wouldn't leave without saying goodbye, would we?
No. But yes, thanks so much everyone for watching. Really appreciate it. Obviously, if you are listening, if you actually want to see what we look like and things like that, you can go to the YouTube channel my YouTube channel because on Let's Drew This channel.
Yeah, it's on Let's Drew This.
So you can go there. Also, if you want to join the Discord, in the description, hopefully, depending on what podcast service you're looking at, there will be a link that you can do to join our Discord server. Yep. Because if you ever want to ask us any questions, if you're on YouTube, you can leave a comment down below and we'll hopefully answer it on the next video. Or you can join the Discord server. You can either have a chat with us there or you can again ask another question that we can answer on the podcast.
Go to the website.
Oh yeah. Well, the website. Well, the website right now is basically just a link.
In progress.
The website right now is basically just a link to
the Spotify.
The Spotify.
But so we're sorting out. I think James wanted to sort out a link tree.
A link tree
stuff.
Kind of thing. So, yeah. So if you go
right now, if you go to the website, gamehour.co.uk.com, it'll link you to the Spotify.
Yep.
Version of this, yep. Where you can use all the text there to search on YouTube and stuff if you're dyslexic like I am.
Honestly, and I gotta say, man, I really enjoyed this. I thought this was way more
interactive. I think I need a better. I'm kind of in the corner a little bit here, and I kind of feel it.
I know it's because I've only got so much space.
Like I say, it's a work in progress. See you next time.
Yeah,
it's been great. We're gonna say goodbye for 20 minutes again, but not today because I'm calling it now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you very much.
See you later. Bye-bye. There we go. We can say goodbye. And
goodbye.
Goodbye. And goodbye.
Stop watching.
And goodbye.
Leave right now.
Yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Why?
Bye-bye.
We're done, mate. We're done.
We're done.
We're done now.
You're done now.
We both went there. Yeah. You're still here.